We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as will be discussed just now, when Srivas's son died, he didn't bring him back to life. Well, he did, very briefly. Then the son spoke, like Chitraketu's son spoke, and then died again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did relieve the leper, Vasudeva, from leprosy, but he gave him pure devotion, and the leper was a great devotee. He didn't even want that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't go around healing people, curing people, casting out devils. That's one thing the Christians are supposed to do, cast out devils. Didn't do it. He asked them to chant Hare Krishna. And to tolerate suffering. Tatenu kampan susami kshamano bunjane vatma kutang vipakam hridvaglapu bhiyavidatan namaste jiveta yo muktipade sadaya bhak. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh yeah, he didn't ask people. He didn't relieve their material suffering. When his devotee, Gopinath Patnaik, was sentenced to death, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, other devotees were saying, it's the only way you can save him is if you give a word to the king will listen to you. It's the only way he can be saved. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, stop bothering me. If you keep on like this, I'll go away and I'll never stay here anymore. Quite different to the what Ababu expected of Gaura. Addressing Mr. Boshu as to the cause of this about face, Srila Saraswati Thakur spoke at length. About face means to turn your whole perception. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the Mahaprabhu whom I have taken shelter of is not the Mahaprabhu of our Babu. He takes Mahaprabhu like a hired gardener. Hey, God, come here. Mali, come here. Go, do that. I take shelter of the Mahaprabhu of Srivas Pandit. Mahaprabhu spoke of Srivas, who was absorbed in prem as follows. Putra shokna janelo jay mora preme, heno shaba shonga mui charibo kemone. How can I ever leave the association of such a person who, due to his love for me, is unaffected even by the demise of his son? That's described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a whole series of songs on this. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in the house of Srivas when in another room, Srivas' son died. And the women in the house all started crying, and Srivas heard it. He went and said, why are you all crying? He said, your son just died. He said, shut up. Stop crying. Don't disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance, his kirtan. He severely chastised the women for crying. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know of this, it's not all described here, but he said, him and Nityananda said, he brought the son back to life and the son spoke, like Chitraketu's son. And then he went away. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda said to Srivas, you lost one son today, but you gained two. Because myself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda became the sons of Srivas. And Nityananda took that very seriously. He would treat Malini, the wife of Srivas, like his mother, and suck her breast, even though she was long past the age where she could suck a child, and so on. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continued, I worship the Mahaprabhu of that Srivas Pandit who told the ladies of his house to stop their crying. Kala raba shuni jodi prabhu bhajya pai, tobe aji ganga prabeshimu sharvathai. If by this hullabaloo the Lord's ecstasy is disturbed, means if he comes to external consciousness, he's absorbed in the prema of dancing, then today I shall certainly enter the Ganga, sarvatai, in all respects. It means not come back. Commit suicide. You don't shut up, I'm going to enter the Ganga and commit suicide, he told them. This is not our Babu's Mahaprabhu. It's also not the Mahaprabhu of those who want to make kirtan into some entertainment instead of service to Mahaprabhu. I worship, Bhaktisthana Saraswati continues, I worship the Mahaprabhu of Sri Rupa, who described him thus: Virachai mai dandam dina bandhu dayang va gatirehana bhavata kachid anyamamasti. Nipatatu shatakotir nirmalangva navambhas tadapikila payoda stuyate chatakena. O friend of the poor, Rupa Goswami is addressing Krishna. Do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment, but in this world I have no one to look to except your lordship. The Chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. I worship the Mahaprabhu who played the role of Jagat Guru to teach us. Aslishava padaratang pinashtumam adarshanan marmahatang karotuva yathatatava vidadhatu lampato mat prana natas tusa eva na paraha. Lord Krishna, the lover of many female devotees, may embrace this fully surrendered maidservant or trample me with his feet, or may render me broken-hearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time, yet still he is nothing less than the absolute Lord of my heart. Nagoni aponaduk shobebanchi tarshuk tarshuk amar tatparja more jodi diaduk tar hoilo mahashuk sheduk morashuka barja. I do not mind my personal distress. I wish only for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the meaning of my life. If he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. So you can see it's completely the opposite to... This is bhakti, and it's completely the opposite of what our Babu considered to be bhakti. That I worship Gaura and Gaura makes me happy according to my own terms and conditions. But real bhakti means we worship Krishna and he makes the terms and conditions. And we just follow without any argument. Bhaktisthana Saraswati continued, if I belong to the enjoying category, then when my enjoyment is interrupted, I become angry. On the other hand, the renunciant will say that it is proper to give up enjoyment. The devotees of Sri Gauranga do not tell anyone either to indulge in or renounce enjoyment. They say, let the jiva imbibe his natural tendency for real spiritual objects. If one accepts all three types of misery which come upon him in full force, it is of no benefit. And if one wants to artificially renounce attachment, he cannot. But one who performs dandavat to the Lord's feet with body, mind and words is the rightful heir to liberation. This is paraphrasing verse which I just quoted offering obeisance with one's heart, words and body. Then he becomes the rightful heir to liberation. Whatever drawback may come, he will accept it as the Lord manifesting in the form of mercy. It defies description how much Sri Chaitanya has arranged for our welfare. We are on the path of material enjoyment. To open our eyes, he orchestrates that certain obstacles appear stage by stage among the objects of attachment. He gave me bad health and step by step gave me accidents. He gave a specific transitory nature to all things to help put us on the spiritual path. Very instructive, huh? I remember an incident of long ago. A high court lawyer named Dutta, whose son was on his deathbed, requested me, "You are a devotee, please keep my son alive." Common idea that sadhus, they have power, and they can, just by their desire, they can alter the course, the natural course of events. So many sadhus, they may have had power. In the modern age, I don't think, not much. Previously, maybe. Nowadays, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they change the course of people's lives by making them give up the hope for material enjoyment and making them or inducing them to give up the hope of material enjoyment and inducing them to chant the holy names and surrender to Krishna and get free from all material miseries forever. But foolish people, they can't see this. They think that I need a sadhu to bless me so that I'll get material enjoyment. Or the obstacles to my material enjoyment will be removed. The way if the sadhu wants to remove them all, they don't want it, because by removing the obstacles to material enjoyment, you remove the objects of material enjoyment, or the whole sense of material enjoyment also, and that they don't want. I told him, "I am not a life restorer. I will try to change the way you think." This Dutta, an atheist, persisted, "If your God exists, you should have him cure my son." He wants to dictate to God. I directly said to him, "I will not make a campaign against the desire of the Lord. I cannot nourish the ideology of the Shaktas. Sri Gaurasunda is extremely merciful." Saying, "Be merciful, be merciful, save my son." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extremely merciful, as demonstrated by his providing millions of dangers and setbacks in this world. Shri Krishna Chaitanya daya kara habicha, bicha karele chitte pabe chamatka. If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. It is not the prime duty of the jiva to live in forgetfulness of the Lord. This world is not our eternal residence. To remind us of this, at every moment, the Lord interjects problems amid our pursuit of material pleasure. Sri Kulashekhar has declared, Nastha dharme navasunichaye naiva kamo pabhoge yad bhavyang tad bhavatu bhagavan purva kama nurupam etat prathyam mama bahu matang janma janmantare pi tvat padam bhuruha yoga gata nischala bhaktirastu. I do not desire to perform religious rituals or to have an earthly kingdom. I do not care for sense enjoyments. Let them appear and disappear in accordance with my previous deeds. My only desire is to be fixed in bhakti to the lotus feet of the Lord, even though I may continue to take birth here, life after life. Sri Gaurasunda also recited a similar verse. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaituki twai. O Lord of the universe, I do not want wealth, followers, beautiful women or learning. May I simply perform unmotivated devotional service to you, birth after birth. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues, I will not fall into hypocrisy. Birth after birth I have done so, but I shall not continue. I will not involve you in the results of my previous actions, for I have heard the instructions of the Bhagavatam from the lotus feet of my Guru. I will not involve you in the results of my previous actions, suggesting that if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati were to do something like materially benefiting him, then you'd become involved in some other karmic reaction. Yeah, I have heard the instructions of Bhagavatam from the lotus feet of my Guru. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranang satam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Vaparayarishvara Sadhyo Hridyavarudhyate Chakriti Bhi Susrushibhistakshanat. Completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated, this Bhagavata Purana propounds the highest truth, understandable by devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Srila Vyasadeva, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continues, My Gurudev never accepted service from others. Unto anyone coming to serve him, he wished for the destruction of 14 generations of that person's family. Saying, you want to make me your servant in the next life. You will force me to become your servant to repay the debt. But I will not become the servant of anyone except Krishna's devotees. Birth after birth, I do not want to be the servant of anyone except Sri Radha Thakurani, the best servant of Krishna. So when people came to Gaur Kishore to do any service, he would frighten them by saying that if you try to serve me, I'll curse you, that 14 generations of your family will be destroyed. People couldn't work it out. This guy kind of do a pious activity of serving a sadhu. And sadhus, they bless you. And he's saying that if I serve him, he'll destroy 14 generations of my family. Gaur Kishore would accept service from Saraswati Thakur. But for materialistic people, he would think that it becomes a materialistic exchange. And then I will have... In other words, he's making the point that if a so-called sadhu who is actually enjoying on a material platform the service he receives from others, if he accepts that service, then because it's not actually on the spiritual platform, then that so-called sadhu will have to come back again to the world to serve those who served him in this life. Saraswati Thakur continues. He, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, used to tell me, endeavor only for spiritual things, nothing else should be done. He was neither a learned scholar nor even literate. With tears streaming from his eyes, he would shout, I chant the names of Gaur and Nityananda. I pray that I will not be a black spot to the holy name, that I will have no desires for the nonsense of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Many times he requested, tell me what is written in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know Sanskrit. I don't know reading and writing at all. I would reply, what should I say? I'm seeing it graphically in your character. What else is there in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Our Babu deceptively took shelter of Mahaprabhu as if to enrich Mahaprabhu. As if Mahaprabhu would be delivered by his mercy. He had perfect attachment to matter, not to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu revealed his duplicitous nature. Our Babu did not investigate this matter in the beginning. Not even for a moment did he see the real form of Mahaprabhu. He thought of the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga as some sort of special medicine or natural product. This is a very important point. He did not investigate this matter in the beginning. He just presumed the worship of Mahaprabhu to be something everyone's doing. Someone worships this Paramama in Navadvip. There's the local Shakti, Paramama. So people are worshipping her. And someone is worshipping their guru. And so everyone's doing it. So let me, I'll also do it. So many people are worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They say he's God. Okay, I'll also do. But they never think about it deeply. What is the actual worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What are the consequences of worshipping him? They just do. Okay, I'll worship God, I'll get some benefit. Everyone else is doing. Yeah, our Babu, thought of Mahaprabhu as a material substance for curing his daughter's illness. The lotus feet of Gaurinitai remove all anarthas and bestow Krishna prema. They can bestow love of Radha and Krishna. Their names are non-different from themselves. Gaurinitai are not some magicians or talismans for removing disease. Talisman? What is this? Tabiz. Oh. They can bestow love of Radha and Krishna. If he, that's our Babu, had obtained instructions from the lotus mouth of a guru who was a genuine Gaur Bhakta, the name alone would have bestowed mercy on him and elevated his heart. Vaikuntha nama graharanam asheshaga harang viduhu. Learned transcendentalists know that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. But to chant the name with a materialistic attitude produces great sin. Chanting, just leave out a few words there and you'll get the essence of this. Chanting produces sin if it's with a materialistic attitude. So we can see what is the difference between the bhajan that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati taught and the bhajan that takes place if we don't hear the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Which means the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. We may think, oh, well, let's have a kirtan mela, we'll all come to, we'll chant the holy names, it's all purifying, but if we don't hear and imbibe the instructions, then we'll be committing sin by cultivating a materialistic conception of the holy name. It may not seem to us, it may seem very spiritual that we're chanting the holy names and we become gopis in the spiritual world and it's all nectar, but it's all conceived of in the, if it is all conceived of in the consciousness of personal enjoyment, I will go to the spiritual world and enjoy being a gopi. I'm not going to say, must be a gopi. I'm not one of those cowherd boys or blades of grass, something low class like that. I'm a gopi, that's for sure. So this kind of attitude, it's actually offensive and sinful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continuing about Arbabu. Arbabu was committing namaparada. His misfortune was a consequence of this offense. So he wondered why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his child so sick and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and died. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, because of Gaur Babu's so-called bhajan, because of his offensiveness, he got this result. The result of Namaparad is either attainment or non-attainment of dharma, artha, and karma. His desires were not fulfilled. If he sincerely accepts Gauranga's lotus feet, his offense will dissolve. Then the name of Gaura will melt his heart and tears will flow from his eyes. Then he will be able to understand these words of Jagadguru Sridhar Swami. The affix pra-ujjhita indicates the rejection of even the desire for liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam has uprooted all desires for liberation and material elevation. If one seeks shelter of that Mahaprabhu who upheld Srimad Bhagavatam as the most authoritative scripture, then neither cheating nor any other desires can remain. That Mahaprabhu, he says. Actually, there is only one Mahaprabhu. So the other people, they're just imagining Mahaprabhu. The highest benefit tastes better, whereas temporary benefit tastes sweet. And this is all being spoken of in the context of Gaura Bhajan. So what does that mean? If we want our highest benefit, we should seek out the bitter Gaura Bhajan, not the sweet Gaura Bhajan. We should be very careful of those who overemphasize sweetness without informing us of the purification, the bitter purification that we have to undergo before we can appreciate the sweetness. If it's all sweet, sweet, sweet from the beginning, you know, this person is a cheater. If a patient tells the doctor to give him sugar cakes instead of bitter medicine, then his accepting the doctor is merely a show. It may be. Some rich man will go to the doctor prescribes a bitter medicine. He says, no, give me a sweet medicine. The doctor says, no, you have to take bitter medicine. Look, I'm paying you. I'm telling you to give me a sweet medicine. And the doctor can't help him. Similarly, there is no use to take refuge in the Lord while trying to increase one's disease. One becomes a so-called theist for the sake of attaining material enjoyment. That means you're increasing your material disease. There's no use, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says. If we ignore the teachings of Sri Chaitanya, we transmogrify him or his devotee into Satan. When we no longer strive for material benefits, our false devotion to Gaura will vanish. We worship the Mahaprabhu praised by Srila Rupa Goswami. Having said the Mahaprabhu we don't worship, who is the Mahaprabhu we worship? Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Trishe Namaha. Homage to the most munificent avatar, Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani and are widely distributing Krishna Prema. We worship the Mahaprabhu glorified by Srila Swarup Damoda. Helo Dhunita Kedaya Vishadaya Pramilad Amodaya Shamyachastravivadaya rasadaya chitar piton madaya shashvad bhakti vimodaya samadaya madhurya maryadaya Sri Chaitanya daya nidhetavadaya bhuyadamandodaya. O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of lamentation by making everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy wakens transcendental bliss and eclipses all material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising over different shastras are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to exult. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates bhakti and glorifies the ultimate limit of madhurya rasa. By that causeless mercy of yours, may transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart. We worship the Mahaprabhu, glorified by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Prabhu. Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapur akasha pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpa patali prodkata dangshrayate vishvam purna sukhayate vidhi mahindra dishchakutayate yadkaranya kataksha vaibhavatam tam gauramevastumaha. For a devotee who has received Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful glance, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of Brahman, appears hellish. The heavenly planets appear like phantasmagoria. The senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. The entire world becomes a replica of Vaikuntha, and the position of demigods like Brahma and Indra is considered equal to that of tiny insects. We pray to that Lord, Sri Gaurasunda. Most unfortunate are they who, even after hearing the teachings of Mahaprabhu, do not accept them. Yeah, that's the problem with the upper sampradayas. They superficially accept the teachings of Mahaprabhu, but they don't actually accept them. Gaurasunda is not the object of our enjoyment. Even though a person experiences thousands of misfortunes or calamities, he should hear about Gaurasunda, chant about him and preach about him. All thoughts that now exist in this universe, existed in the past, or will exist in the future, are no better than a few pennies. We should think, when will we be able to take shelter of Gaurasunda's lotus feet with complete sincerity? Our Babu did not understand that Gaurasunda is the supreme truth. He showed false bhakti, manifesting words alone, while taking refuge in Satan. Anarpita chiring chirat karuna yavatirno kalau. Samapiyatamana tajvala rasang sa bhakti shriyam. Harif purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipita. Sada hridaya kandare spurutu va. Shachinandanaha. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in Kali Yuga by his causeless mercy to bestow not what no avatar has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of bhakti, that of amatory love. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful. He gives the highest gift, but most people can't even recognize it as a gift. They're so far away from pure devotional service. Gaurasunda spread in this world the highest rasa, never given before. But I will instead pray for stool, urine, pus, flesh and bones. Those who think Mahaprabhu is Satan pray for these things. Yeah, those who are Satanists, they pray, give me a nice car, give me a nice house. That's what the so-called religionists also pray for. Radha Krishna Praniya Vikriti Haladinir Shaktir Smad Ekatmana Vapibhuvi Pura Deha Bhedam Gatautau Chaitanya kyam prakatam adhuna tadvayam chaikamaptam radha bhava dyuti suvalitam naomi krishna swarupam. The loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they have eternally separated. Now these two transcendental identities have reunited in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. The daughter of Vrishabhanu is not just the counter-whole or counterpart of Krishna. The outer effulgence of Radha has completely covered the beauty of Shyama. It has engulfed his mind. Such is the intensity of their embrace. They have become this exalted form. Sri Gaurasundara is not simply Radha or simply Krishna, but the embodiment of their deep embrace. Prasarita maha prema piyusha rasa sagare chaitanya chanda prakate yo dino dina eva saha. Oh, yeah, the reference isn't given here. This is from Chaitanya Chandramrita. A person who does not take advantage of the great ocean of the nectar of praying during the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly the poorest of the poor. Then Mr. Basu asked, please give some practical suggestions. There are many theoretical opinions. How can one become free from Namaparada? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, please study Harinama Chintamani. Mr. Boshu, Mahaprabhu said that we should give the name even to the lowest person. Srila Saraswati Thakur, a Nama Acharya, a devotee free from Nama Parada and Nama Bhas, can give the name. Mr. Boshu, but then what is the meaning of Shraddhaya Helayava? The name can be chanted either with faith or inattention. It appears that Mr. Basu was either a member of or was influenced by various Sahajiya Sampradayas, what we would call Sahajiya Sampradayas. These Sahajiya Sampradayas may not be men dressing as women, but they have a serious misunderstanding. Saraswati Thakur, it does not mean to chant with aparad. If one chants with offense, will it be beneficial? Mr. Basu, but Mahaprabhu does not mention namaparada. He thought that he had Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati checkmated. Srila Saraswati Thakur, you should read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Sandarbha, wherein Namaparada is mentioned throughout. For instance, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Niraparade loyale, what is that? Pai Premadham. If one chants the name of Krishna without offense, then one will get the treasure of prema. Oh, he quotes it. Right here, Niraparade Nam Loyale Pai Prema Dhan. By chanting without offense, one receives the treasure of prema. One cannot get the name from a false guru, a Namaparadi, but only by taking shelter of a pure Namacharya. The guru will produce auspiciousness for his disciple. He will not think that he has become successful by lording over him. He will not chant the name of Gauranitai while pursuing the path of materialism. Those who enjoy or hate Gaura are offenders to the name and should be avoided. Mr. Boshu, if one is strict in chanting, will one get the name? Srila Saraswati Thakur, without directly answering the question, says, false chanting will not give the name. The real name reveals himself, bestowing his own mercy. Those who do not attempt to understand this will commit aparadha. Those who fail to understand that the name and the name are non-different. The real name reveals itself. But even once chanting the real name can confirm the greatest benefit. Mr. Boshu, how can I chant the real name once? Sasar Thakur. Ado Guru Padashaya. First, one should first surrender to a Guru. So to chant purely, one needs to receive the name from a Guru. Mr. Boshu, the human Guru is very limited. I may accept a Guru, but who will the inhabitants of Africa, America, or New Zealand accept as Namacharya? This is before anyone had been to the West. I mean, before Bhakti Sanswari sent his preachers. Srila Saraswati Thakur, they will receive a Guru according to their qualification, just as some have received Christ. When they gain good fortune and search for a genuine Guru, then after some births they will receive a Guru. For the time being, you stop and lend your submissive and regardful ear. So he's got to the point of Mr. Boshu, that you need to surrender. You're talking about worshipping Gaura, chanting the pure name, but you need to surrender and hear from me. Then you can be benefited. I say to everyone of this world, stop your other talks and listen to this message. I am an emissary of transcendental sound, not aparad. I am neither ready to commit nor make others commit aparad. If I proceed with all the rubbish that I've accumulated till now on my head, I'll be unable to advance one inch towards Vraja. Just for some time, suspend the words of those who are as famous as giant intellects of the world and hear transcendental sound. Empiricism must never be the medium. Bhakti is not a suggestive hit or miss matter. It is positive, a crystalline delineation of reality. Bhakti is ascertained as obedience to the personality of Godhead. Avismriti Krishna Padara Vindayok Shinotya Bhadrani Tashantanoti Sadvasya Shuddhing Paramatma Bhaktim Jnanam Chavigyana Viragas Yuktam. Constant remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet disrupts everything inauspicious and awards the utmost fortune. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion to the Supreme Lord along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. Bilva Mangal Thakur said, Bhaktis Trais Tiratara Bhagavan Yarisyat Daivena Na Falati Divya Kishora Murte Mukti Swayang Mukulitan Jali Sevate Sman Dharmata kama gataya samaya pratikshaha. O Lord, if we develop unflinching bhakti unto you, then automatically your transcendental youthful form is revealed to us. Thus liberation itself waits with joined palms to serve us, and dharma, artha and kama patiently wait to render service to us. Pretty exalted position. In the beginning there was no need for us to have a mission. But since many people were going astray, we are using this mission to engage in the Lord's service and deliver human society from the wrong course. Even if the present style of worldly enjoyment were to reach a million times more intensity, still we would reject it like stool and urine. You have to be a completely pure devotee to say that, I think. Just like we see that Soren told many devotees in Hawaii, where Prabhupada said the situation is just like the heavenly planets. So I'm told that many devotees there, they're not very serious about bhakti, because the weather is nice. You can just go pick some mangoes off a tree. I read some account that during the mango season in Hawaii, there's so many mangoes. You can just go and pick off the tree, as many as you like. No one will complain. So it sounds nice, huh? But we won't get Krishna bhakti. So this idea that we shall enjoy bhakti, probably as long for every conditioned soul, there's some motive, if not to directly enjoy the gross material world via bhakti, that may be also, or even to renounce this world, even if we do engage everything in Krishna's service, if we have any idea that I should enjoy, then we are plowing in the wrong field, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says. Even if the present style of worldly enjoyment were to reach a million times more intensity, still we would reject it like stool and urine. It means that it has material enjoyment, even if you make it much, much better than it is now, as far as devotees are concerned, it's like stool and urine. This is the outlook of a real devotee. May humanity be delivered from its wrong direction and be established at the lotus feet of Gaurasunda for the root of all auspiciousness. We can repeat that now. May humanity be delivered from its wrong direction and be established at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Who will take them to Gaurasunda? We are making some meager attempt for that. If anyone, be he even a demigod like Shiva, Vayu, Varuna or Brahma, or a great leader or preacher of Dharma, is one hairbreadth separate from the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Dev, he will encounter reversals. So it's very demanding. Just surrender fully, without any personal desire. You will be fully benefited. The servant of Chaitanya neither yearns for nor fears the talks of those of the giant intellects of this world, of those whom the giant intellects of this world glorify as influential preachers of Dharma. Because he has seen the great beauty of Sri Gauranga's lotus feet. For a devotee who is aspiring after the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, then that will be described just in one verse coming up. For devotees of Gaura, the poisonous fangs of material enjoyment have been broken. No type of legerdemain can fool those into whose ears the teachings of a Sri Gaurasundar Bhakta have entered. Legerdemain means like Sai Baba tricks. You show something like magic tricks, but he's creating a watch. But actually it's hidden in the fold of his coat. So that's the this so-called magic tricks. It's all just cheating, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he says that Kaivalyang Narakayate Chidashapura Akasha Pushpayate Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Prudkata Dangstrayate Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Vidhi Mahendra Dishchakritayate Yad karanya kataksha vaib havavatang tamgoram estuva. For a devotee who has received Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful glance, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of Brahman, appears hellish. The heavenly planets appear like phantasmagoria. The senses appear like serpents with broken teeth. The entire world becomes a replica of Vaikuntha. And the position of demigods like Brahma and Indra is considered equal to that of tiny insects. So we may offer respect to Indra for having achieved that exalted post, but we understand that intrinsically, the jiva who is Brahma and the jiva who is a blade of grass, intrinsically they are of the same quality. So a Vaishnava who is advancing, especially a Gauriya Vaishnava, then for such a devotee, then humility is an essential quality. The quality of considering that I'm completely surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have nothing to do with anything else, nothing to do with, is nothing else in this world matters. Kaivalya doesn't matter, heavenly planets don't matter, they're all useless. So that's humility of surrendering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears to be the great arrogance of a Vaishnava. Actually, it's great humility. So, Bhakti Sanswati continues. Patanjali's path of yoga, artificial endeavors to control the senses or the affairs of Menaka and Urvashi, can never help one attain the position of a devotee of the Lord. Those who take a pessimistic view and think it very difficult to be freed from suffering are unable to reach the shoe bearers of the Lord's devotees. Vaishnavas do not regard privation to be very significant, nor do they entirely shun material knowledge, like a weaver putting cotton in his ears. I couldn't exactly find what that means. Why he's mentioning a weaver putting cotton in his ears? I don't understand that. They do not desire their own pleasure. My own pleasure will take me to hell, for I am a sick animal. My desire is to give pleasure to the Lord. The haven of Gaurasundara's lotus feet cannot be attained by bringing worldly acquisitions. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu often said that the devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yeah, by worldly acquisition. It's not that, yeah, this arba, but he wanted the idea that I will get blessings of Lord Chaitanya. I will get my daughter. She will become. She will praise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then everyone, they'll worship him, and they'll get dhan and jan and sundari, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glory will spread as more devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu get more dhan, jan, sundari, and then more people will want to join. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, we don't want any of these things. Yet if one can utilize those objects in service to his lotus feet, then that is beneficial. Kala, kaler, balena, indriya, vairi, vargaha, shri bhakti margeha, iha, kantaka koti ruddhaha, ha ha kva, yami vikala, king aham karomi, Chaitanya Chandra Yadi Nadya Kripam Karoshi. It is Kali Yuga, and our enemies, the senses, are powerful. In this world, the path of bhakti is spiked with millions of thorny obstacles. O Chaitanya Chandra, if you do not bestow your mercy on me today, then being confused, where will I go and what shall I do? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati speaking at length about genuine and false Gaur Bhajan. It's mostly about false Gaur Bhajan. Because what was going on in the world as people presume to be Gaurabhajan is not actually. So he's describing varieties of false Gaurabhajan. I will reside alone and chant the names of Gaurnitai. This is another brand of deception. A desire for personal happiness and fame. All the senses are classed as enemies. All these enemies have sprung up as a million thorns to obstruct the path of bhakti, the eternal function of the soul as taught by Lord Chaitanya. People mistakenly adjudge bhakti as that kind of sham devotion that is mixed with karma, jnana and yoga, with all varieties of other desires for enjoyment or with false renunciation. But I will serve the Lord beyond the material realm. I will not be a scavenger, openly or stealthily serving the dog of sensual indulgence. I will not be a washerman serving his donkey. I will not be an engineer serving pieces of brick. Only one who considers like this can gain Mahaprabhu's affection and take shelter of the bhakti path. Sri Gaurasundara is not some fenced in inanimate object. In other words, people think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is some kind of subject or that you can study and understand everything about, just some idea. Only by his mercy can one be delivered from the normal material intelligence that has opposed the Lord since time immemorial. There is no other method. One should understand that those who make a show of giving mercy to others are simply cheaters. They do not continually chant the name or pastimes of Gaura. So how can they perform service to Guru? All those who are attached to some teeny dharma or measly material object can perform the duty of a classroom teacher, but not that of a guru from the spiritual kingdom. Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, shudra kene noi, ji krishna tatta veta shri guru hoi. Whether one is a brahmana, sannyasi or shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a guru if he knows the science of Krishna. Worldly actions arising from the three gunas have thrown me into difficulty. The guru is he who, by giving a blow to the sensitive spot, can cut the knot in the heart. Srila Prabhupada used to say that. He would find the delicate point? The weak point, and press on that. So whenever is the weak point in the argument, Prabhupada would press on that and then dispel it. He who is capable of guileless compassion and who is not preoccupied with flattering me, he can give mercy to me directly without deceit. Srimad Bhagavatam states, Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavante manushaṁ artadam anityam api hadhira turnang yate tanapate danumritya yavan nisrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves this rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords an opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen and died, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life. Sense gratification is available in all species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being. I do not want to become a demigod. Humans, being familiar with particular sorrows, are superior to demigods. You could put that in your who is supreme. Humans are in a better position. The demigods are so bloated with happiness that they are unaware of suffering and are preparing for a long ride on the merry-go-round of karma. Did you put in the demigods want to take a birth in Bharat, in Kali Yuga, so that they can do bhakti? There are so many things could be said. Uh-huh. To deliver the humans, the Lord sends great personalities in human form. They rescue mankind afflicted by the three miseries and send them to the kingdom of God. The male man who bears the Lord's message, his personal messenger, can perform the function of guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. A A person's madness will certainly increase if he enters the chamber of aristocracy, power, learning, and beauty. That's Janmaishwarya Shuta Sri. Is when many times in his speaking, it's in Bengali, but he would, like this, you wouldn't get this just by reading the English, but it's Janmaishwarya Shuta Sri. So it's quoting from Shastra. Until one gives up all these types of pride, the names of Gaur and Nityananda will not issue from his mouth. From whose mouths do the names of Hara, that means Radha, and Krishna come? In this regard, Srimad Bhagavatam states, Janmaishwarya Shuta Sri Bhir Edhamana Madhapuman Puman Naivarhatya Bhitatung Vai Twama Kinchana Gocharam. My Lord, you can be approached only by those who are materially exhausted. One on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Etan nirvidyamananam icchatam akuto bhayam yoginam ripanir nitam harer nam anukirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord in the manner of great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from material desires, those who desire all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhu has stated that only Nama Prabhu is fit to be taken shelter of, since that name is the sole object of worship for liberated souls. The name is worshipped both by those who are not liberated, those aspiring for dharma, artha, and kama, and by liberated souls who possess love for the name. So, up to now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has been rejecting as nama parada any desire than to serve. But here he says that the name is worshipped by those who are not liberated, even those who are aspiring for dharma, artha, and kama, and by liberated souls. But, he goes on to say, only those chanters of the name who are focused solely on Gaura's lotus feet can say that they are ready to reject, like stool and urine, all methods created by men, and accept only the name. And quoting from Namashtaka of Rupa Goswami, O Harinam Prabhu, you are not featureless. You have lotus feet, lotus face, name, form, qualities, associates, and pastimes. The Upanishads, the supreme section of the Vedas, constantly perform arati to the tips of your lotus feet. If you think you can remain an enjoyer and simultaneously chant the name of Gaura, you will not be chanting the names of Gaura Nityananda. Those who fix limits have been tempted by finite things. They have been bewitched by an apparition. The holy name will not come from their mouths, but only from the mouths of liberated souls. At present, our souls are sleeping. If I am awakened, I will hear only talks of Krishna, and then I will chant. I will associate only with those who chant the glories of Krishna. Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kataha tad joshanad ashvapavarga vartimani shadharatir bhaktir anukramashati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation and thereafter is freed and his attachment becomes fixed. Then bhakti begins. Tatodu sangamutsrija satsu sajeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. An intelligent person should reject all bad association and instead associate with saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment within one's mind. He is the genuine sadhu whose sword in the form of instructions remains always whetted for ritually butchering as if at a sacrificial post, the tendencies for enjoyment and renunciation. In a strongly speaking book, I didn't quote much from here. I said just to read it, because probably the whole book's full of things like this. He is the personification of strongly speaking. Tadvijnanartham sagurum eva bhigacchet. To understand the living entity's constitutional position, one must approach a guru. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. Try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service to him. Self-realized souls can impart knowledge to you because they have seen the truth. He is my guru who has no dharma other than serving the lotus feet of his guru, who has no other consciousness or philosophy than this. He is preoccupied neither with hearing about enjoyment nor cramming his esophagus with delectable food. He never hears anything except Hari Katha. He does not give advice other than to serve Hari. He does not perform any other activity, not even for 1 second out of 24 hours. Such a person is qualified as guru. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells another anecdote. One day, Mr. P and Mr. S of Kalighat implored me to take them for darshan of my guru, which I did. One of them entreated him, "Please give me mercy." I mean, which are that Gorky Shah Das Babaji Maharaj. My Gurudev responded, "Stay here." Mr. P said, "But I have a return ticket." My Gurudev asked, "If you cannot give up a return ticket to the material world, how can you strive for the object worshipped by exalted persons such as Brahma and Shiva?" There's another place where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati describes it. Someone said they had a return ticket, and he was just astonished. "How have you come with a return ticket?" He was actually completely astonished that why have you come to see me with a return ticket? He thought it was very unusual. From these words of my Gurudev, I could comprehend the meaning of the Vedic word abhigachet, approach. You don't go there to the guru, and then you come back, and then you go again when you feel it's about time to go again. Going means staying. One action, one statement of my Gurudev captured the meaning of the Vedas, the Bhagavatam and the Gita. I understood from my Gurudev that just as when one is lighting a fire, he should not be distracted by other activities and allow it to go out, one should perform no activities save hearing and chanting about the Lord. One must associate with devotees in that way. Association does not mean to hear chit-chat about material things. Going to a devotee to get praise or material assets is not the way to attain his guileless mercy. "Oh, I will go to a guru and he will praise me. You're very nice, you're such a good devotee," blah, blah, blah. Although one may thus be cheated by him, if one wishes to be so cheated. On one hand, a Vaishnava is most merciful, and the other is a cheater. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur often spoke about this. You can get this. The guru may cheat you also. "I saw that in my guru. Two persons whom he intuited might create considerable obstacles to his bhajan. He gave in profuse quantity various articles and money that had been presented by others and gave opportunities for them to be honored." Amazing, isn't it amazing? By intimate associate with devotees, the concepts of anthropomorphism and apotheosis are destroyed. apotheosis is the attempt to make a minion of Maya into a guru. Anthropomorphism, in Bhaktisiddhanta's language, means to make it is the concept that God is just like man. And apotheosis is the idea that a man is God. Gaura Sundar's lotus feet can never be approached by one with an enjoying mentality. Yeah, so apotheosis is the attempt to make a minion of Maya into a guru. So one who's a servant of guru, and you call him... who's a servant of Maya, and it's all the big guru game. The guru is sitting there, he's in Maya, and he gives blessings to others to also be in Maya. Yes, take dhanam janam sundari. I bless you. Pass your exam. And so on. Yes, you be a great devotee and have good income and lots of money and you can preach better. Though he is not present, it's the same idea, isn't it? That Mr. R, this, no, who's the one in the beginning? He said, well, if my daughter had survived, she'd be a great devotee, and then everyone would be more inclined to be a devotee. So it's the same thing. You become a great success, encouraging people to be a great success materially, and then we'll make more devotees. But they'll all be materialists, not devotees. Though he is not present on this, Gaurasundara's lotus feet can never be approached by one with an enjoying mentality. Though he is not present on this earth in manifest pastimes, if with complete sincerity I continue to associate with the real guru, I can dovetail my consciousness with Gaurasundara's. By such excellent association I will gain great benefit. An insincere hypocrite cannot be a guru. A person whose aspiration is for mundane activity can never be a guru. The pseudo-guru should be turned out and exposed. If in the name of teaching surrender to the Lord, the so-called guru harnesses his disciple to facilitate getting his daughter married, that means the guru's daughter married, or for constructing his house, or for boosting his dhanjan sundari, wealth, prestige, or opportunity for associating with women, then one should consider him a thug to be wholly rejected. One should hear nothing from such rascals. Whoever usurps objects meant for serving the supreme enjoyer is never fit to be called a guru. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana amanasa gira nikilas vapyavasthasu jivan mukta sa uchate. A person who serves Krishna with body, mind, intelligence, and words is a liberated person even within the material world, although he apparently performs many material activities. Even if an atheist is eager to perform social service, still one should not associate with him. Such persons can never attain realization of God or the soul. By rendering social service, one will plummet into the pothole of his own Maya and lead others into disastrous circumstances. I was actually hoping that by publishing this book, it might make a change in our ISKCON, but I guess people take it as a storybook, like reading Goldilocks or something. It's just some fairy tales, nice stories. Nothing to do with us now, because that time has gone and now it's the modern age and we're preaching according to time, place and circumstance. So, I was in the illusion of thinking that this book might make a difference in our movement. First comes Shraddha, then Rati, then Bhakti. When sadhana has not begun, there first appears faith. When sadhana is completed, there is rati. After being situated in sadhya, there is bhakti, or prema. Thakur Bhaktivinoda has sung. Kripa karo Vaishnava Thakur. Shambandha janiya bhajite bhajite abhiman haudur. Please be merciful, O revered devotee. Then only will my false ego go far away by constant worship in full knowledge of my real eternal position. For him who performs genuine Vishnu seva, nothing is ever auspicious except such seva. Presently we have developed a tie of love with finite things. We take to be necessary things that are not. Yes, yatma. See, this is just one question from the man, and it turns into a whole katha which went on for hours. That's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Yes, yatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke swadhikala tradeshu bhoma ijadhihi. Yatirta buddhi salanena karhi jijaneshva bigneshu sa eva gokaraha. But it's all to the point. Everything he's saying is exactly in reply to the question. He's not deviating from the subject matter. He's explaining it in great detail. One who identifies the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air. One who identifies with the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes that his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks that an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, and who never identifies, feels kinship with, worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass, or is like an ass that carries grass and other food for cows. We do not associate with any person who does not directly see Gaurasunda or Krishna with each utterance of those names, who makes a big noise while pulling on his beads, as if pulling the reins of a horse as he goes searching for God. Relationship with Krishna is the ultimate limit of scholarship. Vidya Bhagavata Vadhi Varang Huta Vaha Jvala Panjaranta Vyavastitihi Nashauri Chinta Vimukha Jana Sangvasa Vaishasam. It is better to accept the miseries of being encaged within bars and surrounded by flames than to associate with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. Such association is a very trying hardship. I'm not going to finish this by 12 o'clock. What's the time? Okay. If I have got genuine inclination to serve the Lord, I will see the whole world as ingredients for his service. Then a painting by Raphael cannot captivate me. I don't know why particularly Raphael. Maybe someone had shown him a picture, a printing or something of a picture by Raphael. Any idea? He painted religious themes, is it? Everyone did in those days. I saw some chart that is all the art paintings used to be religious, and then gradually over the course of time became less and less and less, till nowadays it's practically zero is religious. I will understand that the songs of Vidyapati and Chandidas are incomprehensible to persons possessed of anarthas. In Navadvip, some people try to enjoy the melodies and poetry of Chandidas and Vidyapati as mundane romantic tales. Srinivas Acharya Prabhu began a tradition of singing, but not for the sense gratification of materialistic types or for belly maintenance. Those who do not realize this become pierced with the arrow of lust, like a deer enchanted by the hunter's song. Such persons become animals and ghosts and go to hell. He's talking about people singing Vaishnava songs. They go to hell. People in Navadvipa. They will ornament hell. With this attitude, crazed for satisfying their senses, they do not hear the devotees' words. Srinivas Acharya Prabhu and Sri Vakreshwar Pandit introduced this tradition of singing for the purpose of cheating these animals in human form. Persons who ultimately confirm themselves as impersonalists possess counterfeit coins of bhakti. Their bhakti is fake. Members of sampradayas that promote mundane desires idolize such trifling persons. This is called apotheosis. Oh, no, it's finished now. No. Devotees of Gaura do not subscribe to apotheosis. They are not flatterers. They are eternal servants of the Vishai Vigraha, who is embraced by the Ashray Vigraha. This is the unique aspect of the teachings regarding Gaura Bhajan. So, yeah, that's finished. That section is finished. So that is a glimpse into the erudition. He was just quoting verses one after another. And the keen perception of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And daily, he would be, hours and hours, he would talk like this. Daily, for years and years and years. And then he left being disgusted by his neophyte disciples. Otherwise, he might have stayed much longer. So, anyone like to ask any questions or give their realizations? In the very early days of ISKCON, when there were just a few devotees, Srila Prabhupada had, just like we have a Vyasa Puja book for Srila Prabhupada now, you can see in the early Back to Godhead, devotees would write offerings for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.